Buckle your seatbelt and get ready for the podcast that will take you on a special journey designed to elevate and empower your cross-cultural appreciation for communities around the world. Hello, I'm Carol Copeland Thomas. I'm your host of Conversations with Carol, the weekly show that connects culture with collaboration and community. Welcome aboard. It's difficult to imagine America without the Black church. The Black church has been profound in terms of social action, social justice, since the beginning of this country. And today I want to focus on one denomination. When you talk about the Black church, you just can't look at it as one great big group. It actually represents several denominations, independent denominations, mega churches, non-denominational churches as well. But we want to look at it from the perspective of America and social action and social justice. And to begin this whole journey, I'm going to have a series of podcasts talking about the Black church from time to time. I want to begin talking about the African Methodist Episcopal Church, otherwise known as the AME Church. And when I think about Representative James Clyburn, who was one of the most influential and respected congresspersons in the United States House of Representatives, he is an AME, a longtime AME, and said some time ago, I think the AME church was born out of protest. He's absolutely correct. It was born out of protest and has stood the test of time, has been around for, again, since the beginning of the American Revolution, and will live on for many, many decades. I want to start this conversation off when we talk about the Black church. We want to talk about the AME church because I am a proud member of the African Methodist Episcopal Church. I was born into this denomination. More than likely, I'm going to go out when my life is over, being a member of an AME church here in Boston, Bethel AME Church. I start this conversation with a definition because obviously we're in 2024, if you're listening to this in the future. And for many people, they're probably saying, well, you know, why in this day and time do we have to have Black denominations? Well, we have Black denominations because we have cross-cultural and we have cultural segments throughout the United States. You just can't look at the U.S. as one monolith. You have to look at it in terms of the subsets, the audiences, the populations, the neighborhoods, and the churches that exist in the United States representing all different kind of denominations, sects, etc. I'm talking about S-E-C-T-S, that version. So all different categories are representative of the United States, and the AME Church is no different. So Reverend Dr. Dennis Dickerson, you're going to hear me saying Reverend Doctor a lot. That is a terminology that's used quite a bit in Black culture, and it does represent someone who is an ordained minister and also has some kind of terminal degree, either a medical doctor or someone who has a doctorate in theology or systematic theology or religion or some aspect that has risen that person to receive a doctorate degree. So I say Reverend Doctorate, Reverend Doctor, as many people do, in reference to some of the people I'm going to mention. So when we look at Reverend Dr. Dennis Dickerson, who is a retired historiographer of the AME Church, a professor, college professor, and has written several books, rather dense books, on the AME Church, I would recommend anything that he has written, I would actually say would be very worthwhile. There are other authors, members either who are academicians or political figures or theologians who have also written books about the church, and they've included segments about the AME Church. Even Henry Louis Gates, in his programming and the genealogy that he's done, he has talked about Richard Allen. So this church is a mainstream denomination representing the Black community that's been in this country since 1787. My personal roots in this church go back to the probably the mid to late 1800s, maybe earlier, but definitely the mid to late 1800s and beyond. So Reverend Dr. Dickerson says this. I'm reading from the website I'm going to refer you to in just a minute. He says the word African means that the church was organized by people of African descent and heritage. It does not mean that the church was founded in or any that it was just for people of African descent. So that's correct, because we have many ethnicities, non-Black people, who are also part of the AME experience and have been members for decades. So that needs to be established. Number two is that the church roots are of the family of Methodist churches. Methodism provides an orderly system of rules and regulations and places emphasizing plain and simple gospel. Now, we look at John Wesley and Methodism connected with that. John Wesley is well known and well respected. And again, that orderliness is a part of the AME tradition. The form of government deals with Episcopal, and that refers to the form of government under which the church operates, and the chief executive and administrative officers of the AME church denominations are the bishops of the church. So we have bishops just like the Episcopal Church, which stems from the Anglican Church. We have that kind of governmental structure, but the actual roots deal with Methodism. So that's a little bit of that kind of history. And I would encourage you to go to www.ame-church.com for more information. ame-church.com. That's our official website for the AME Church. All of the information you want to know about the church and all the various links can be sourced there. Now, the church was founded in 1787, and it is the oldest Black denomination in the United States. So on the heels of the end of the Revolutionary War, the Congress was formed and the U.S. Constitution was created. You have this church in protest. This is the background of it. During that same time period, many Black freed persons and some probably slaves also were worshiping at a church called St. George Methodist Episcopal Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So we didn't create the Methodist Episcopal. We just added on the African piece. That denomination was already established and now is a part of the United Methodist Church. So we are like a cousin, I would say, of the United Methodist Church, and the origins are with the Methodist Episcopal denomination. So St. George was a large church in 1787, around that time period, and Black congregants were seated in the balcony section of that church. They couldn't sit on the main floor, but they sat in the balcony because of segregation. When they went down to worship and to kneel at the altar on a particular Sunday, and I'm sure there's probably a buildup to this as well, but on a particular Sunday, they were denied the freedom of actually kneeling and worshiping along with white congregants. They were sent away. That one thing led to another. And so a group of Black congregants in that church in 1787, including Richard Allen, who I'll explain to you in just a minute, and also Absalom Jones and other Black people. Now, Richard Allen was freed. Many of these people were freed. They decided, we're not going to take this, particularly Richard Allen. We're not going to take this. In his case, I'm free. I want to freely worship in a church that I want to belong to. So he, Absalom Jones, and several others literally got up, marched out, and left to form what was to be called the Free African Society. And that's the origin of several denominations, including the African Methodist Episcopal Church. So the church was formed in 1787 as a result of the Freed African Society. And as a result of that, the society operated, and as things happen, people have differences of opinions. They want to do things in different ways. Richard Allen, who was a freed slave, a blacksmith, wanted to follow Methodism because it was more of a proponent against slavery versus some of the other denominations. And he pulled away from the Free African Society to form what would begin the African Methodist Episcopal Church. So that society operated as a whole unit until some of the founders of that group decided that they wanted to worship in different ways. They wanted to adopt the denominational direction of certain churches. And at that time, Richard Allen wanted to remain and wanted to have Methodism as a very strong component of the church that he was going to be a part of, and also continue on with the government structure with the Episcopal, the Methodist Episcopal structure, which included the Episcopal form of government. So from that, the AME Church was founded. And the very first church that was part of the AME Church was now called Mother Bethel AME Church. And with Mother Bethel AME Church, that particular historic church was founded in 1794. So again, between 1787 and 1794, we have this nucleus church, the AME Church beginning. And their first actual physical church was Mother Bethel. That is our flagship church. It's the historic and the oldest church in the AME denomination, was actually founded in 1794, and it is the oldest African Methodist Episcopal congregation in the nation. Now, the present church, the present building, was completed in 1890, and it is the oldest church property in the United States to be continuously owned by African Americans, and it was designated a National Historic Landmark in 1972. That's correct. I'm reading. I want to make sure I get my facts straight. So again, I'm giving you the context of the history of this church and the significance of it. I know the pastor now, Reverend Dr. Mark Tyler of Mother Bethel AME Church, a wonderful man of faith and courage and action, and he is now running in our general conference process for historiographer of the church. I just read from Reverend Dickerson, Dennis Dickerson, who is a past historiographer. Reverend Dr. Teresa Fry Brown is the current historiographer, and she's retiring. So now Reverend Dr., and he does have an earned PhD, Mark Tyler, is running for that same office, historiographer. So that's the lineage of it. And again, you can learn a lot more at ame-church.com. I also have a page on my website set up called Understanding the AME Church. I'm going to give you that in the link. So there are many places where you can go and source this information. So that's the background. And the AME Church historically became one of the leading advocates against slavery. So during the time up until the Civil War, the AME Church bishop, he became a bishop in 1816. I'll explain that in just a minute. Bishop Richard Allen and many, many others in the church became stalwart protesting voices of action against slavery and then discrimination and all forms of injustice. So the AME Church was born out of protest, just as Representative Jim Clyburn has said, and remains to be in that league as well. So the Civil War ends, and what had happened was in 1816, because Richard Allen was very, very adamant about creating a church that would not be dominated by a white denomination. He was very adamant about that. And his followers, they literally went to court to declare that they would be incorporated as a freely independent Methodist denomination with no white overseers or lord, should I say. That was not the case in some of the other denominations that grew out of the Free African Society. So that's the first point. Number two is that in 1816, the AME Church, after going to court and winning a stay where they were independent, there was not a white denomination overlooking them, they were free to be their own denomination. And that's what happened. So in 1816, they had their very first general conference. And since 1816, every 4 years, including this year, 2024, there has been a general conference. That's where the bishops are elected. That's where the bishops are assigned by the Episcopal Committee that operates during the general conference. They are assigned to either the district that they're serving or a new district. And that has rotated every 4 years since 1816. In that year of 1816, Richard Allen, the freed slave who was a blacksmith, who started along with Absalom Jones and others, the Free African Society. I should also say that Absalom Jones affiliated with the Episcopal Church, and that's where they went. They parted, went their separate ways. And so Absalom Jones was a part of the Episcopal Church, while Richard Allen started the African Methodist Episcopal denomination. Anyway, in 1816, we had our very first general conference, which is part worship experience, part meeting, business meeting, and he was duly elected and consecrated the first bishop of the African Methodist Episcopal Church. Now, since that, we've had many, many bishops, and all the pictures of the bishops are in the lower level of Mother Bethel AME Church. I've been down there several times, and they also at Mother Bethel AME Church have the remains, the actual remains of Bishop Allen, Bishop Richard Allen. He and his second wife, Sarah Allen, they are both interned and at that particular location in the lower level of Mother Bethel AME Church. And then in another room, so it's like part museum, part church, in another room, they have a picture of all of the AME bishops of the AME Church. Two of those pictures represent my great uncles, my ancestral uncles. Wesley John Gaines was one of them. Wesley John Gaines was the brother of Reverend William Gaines, and I mentioned that name because Reverend William Gaines, in January of 1865, met with several other ministers and leaders in Savannah, Georgia, to discuss the plans for the newly freed slaves who were being freed around the South as the Civil War was coming to a close. And they met with him on that day. The minutes are available, and all you have to do, and I'll have the link here, but you can just look up Reverend William Gaines and General Sherman, and this meeting, this famous meeting, will pop up. Well, I'm related to him. So that's why I say my roots go back way, way a long, long time. So the Civil War ends, and you have a group of independent, I guess they're sort of independent Methodist Episcopal churches in the South. Now, remember, we're talking about the AME Church being founded in Philadelphia. That was in the North, and there were many, many freed persons who belonged to that newly established denomination. In the South, you had a lot of slaves who belonged to the Methodist Episcopal Church and some freed people as well. So after the Civil War, the Methodist Episcopal churches decided to affiliate and join up with the African Methodist Episcopal churches in the North. And so you probably had an explosion of growth, many, many new churches who were recently freed Black people, part of the Methodist Episcopal Church denomination, and they come over to join the African Methodist Episcopal Church. Now, Reverend William Gaines, who I just talked to you about, was in that Methodist Episcopal cluster of churches in the South, who then affiliated with the AME Church. So that's how the church began to spread and grow. And again, I'm looking at social justice issues and social action, which were rooted in the African Methodist Episcopal Church. So now we fast forward and we look at the fact that the AME Church now has 20 districts. They started off with one in the Philadelphia, New York. I'll actually give you the seven conferences of the First Episcopal Church, First Episcopal District of the AME Church: New York, Western New York, Delaware, Bermuda, New Jersey, Philadelphia Conference, which is the mother conference, and New England. I'm a part of the New England Conference, and literally Saturday ended what is called our annual conference. In the AME Church, all AME churches, again, this is the structure piece, all AME churches are connected to a conference, and that conference or that particular conference, which is a region, that particular region has an annual conference every year. Whether you are in parts of Southern Africa, whether you are in India, whether you are in England, whether you are in Los Angeles, or whether you are in Boston, you are a part of an annual conference. And that annual conference is part worship experience and part business. So the pastors of that respective conference come together and they deliver their reports to the bishop assigned to that particular district. There are 20 districts in the AME Church, 2.5 million AMEs around the world, and many, many, many churches. So there are 13 districts in the continental United States, and the rest, seven more, that are in different parts of the world. So this has always been a worldwide church. Richard Allen designed it that way, and it certainly has fulfilled that that strategy going forward. So let me share with you, in terms of women's history, the significance of that. We have the first AME female going to West Africa as a missionary in the late 1800s, and her name is Sarah Gorham. Sarah Gorham was a member of Charles Street AME Church here in Boston, and so they call it the historic Charles Street AME Church for a number of reasons. They're no longer located on Charles Street. That was their origin. They are now located on the corner of Warren and Elm Hill Street in the Dorchester / Roxbury side of town. And I know that church well because my former husband pastored that church. So I have wonderful connections with Charles Street, even though I am a 30-year member of Bethel, 32-year member, I guess now, almost 32 years, of Bethel AME here in Boston, where my pastors, our co-pastors, are Reverend Ray and Gloria White Hammond. So going back to Sarah Gorham, she was a member of Charles Street AME Church. And then she went over, became a missionary. She came back, but unfortunately became ill in West Africa and Sierra Leone and passed away and is buried there. But so our missionary activities go way, way back. Sarah Allen, the second wife of Bishop Richard Allen, started an organization called the Dorcas Society that ultimately became the Missionary Society. And the Missionary Society is a real force to be reckoned with in the AME Church, primarily made up of women. Again, very bold, outrageous, amazing women, encouraging women, women of conviction, and women like Sarah Allen and also Sarah Gorham, two Sarahs from that point of view. Education has always been principal and very important with the AME Church. It always has been that way, as with many, many, and probably most Black churches in the United States. And with that said, scholarships have been awarded. We have AME schools like Wilberforce, Morris Brown. Morris Brown was co-founded by Wesley John Gaines, my relative. He was a bishop at that time. Morris Brown has had their trials and tribulations with accreditation being taken away, and now accreditation has been restored. So they are surviving and sustaining, given the fact that their roots go back to the late 1800s. So you have a number of AME schools that have remained forthright and have stood the test of time and continue to move forward. My grandfather, who was an AME minister, I have a lot of ministers in my family. My grandfather was a trustee at Wilberforce University. And I should also say that I grew up at St. Paul AME Church, which is part of the 4th District. My grandfather pastored that church. He actually built the building that they own and operate to this day. And at that time, in 1953, when the church was dedicated and they marched into the new building, I was the first baby to be baptized. And at that time, the church was the largest Black church in terms of their building in the state of Michigan. So lots of visionary action during that time. My grandfather died in the pulpit in 1961, June of 1961, having paid off the mortgage. He was quite a businessman, along with the leader of the church. So again, there are so many firsts and so many things that I could talk about with the AME Church. I want to give you five more really famous people who you should know about who are a part of this denomination. Number one is Rosa Parks. Who doesn't know Rosa Parks? When she lived and operated and worked as a seamstress and as a secretary of the NAACP branch, she was a member of the AME Church. When she relocated and then retired and passed away in Detroit, Michigan. She relocated to Michigan, lived in Detroit, and she was a proud member of the AME Church. So that's Rosa Parks. Number two is Reverend James Clyburn, Representative James Clyburn. He is, again, I mentioned him earlier, very, very influential and powerful member of Congress, member of the House of Representatives. I believe his father was a minister. He is a member of the AME Church. You may not know this name, but I have so much admiration for her. She passed away in 1922. Her name is Dr. Jamie Coleman Williams. And for older people who were connected to the AME Church, they know her name. She was a part of the General Board. Outside of being pregnant, I think in 1940, she went to every General Conference every 4 years, wherever they happened to be, until she could no longer travel and she became ill and passed away in 2022. She was born in 1918, a year after my parents, and she lived to be, 101 years old. Just an amazing woman of faith and action. I had the pleasure of meeting her, talking to her on the phone, sending her gifts and cards. I'm just enamored by her. She was an educator. Her husband was an educator. They were married for over 70 plus years. He passed away just maybe a year or two or three before she did. They both lived to be over 100 years old and just wonderful. She was a very substantially well-respected member and, again, former general officer of the AME Church. And I had to call her to ask her about the Episcopal Committee that operates only during the General Conference. And I needed to get some particulars from her about that. And that's what really started me talking to her very late in her life. But I am just indebted to her, and I look up to her even to this day. Famous AME. Another famous AME, Professor Charles Ogletree, who was a law professor, senior advisor to Barack and Michelle Obama while they were at Harvard Law School. He was a professor at Harvard Law School and remained in that position until Alzheimer's came into his life. And unfortunately, he had to retire in 2016. I had the good pleasure of knowing him. I recognized him at one of my events. He's just a wonderful, was a wonderful man of truth and action, a very strong proponent of reparations as well. And you can read his books to this day. So that's Professor Charles Ogletree, who passed away very recently in the last 18 months or so. And we also have Dr., this is another Reverend Doctor, Reverend Dr. Tama Bryant. Tama Bryant is the immediate past, I hope I'm getting this correct, immediate past international president of the American Psychological Association, APA. She's the fourth woman of color to serve in that role. The very first woman to serve in that role is Dr. Jessica Henderson Daniel, a friend of mine. She's been ailing over the last few years, but just a wonderful woman and also a member of Charles Street African Methodist Episcopal Church. So again, we just go down the line with AMEs, the first APA president and AME, the fourth president and AME. Reverend Dr. Tama Bryant is from a famous family. Her father is the retired Bishop John Bryant, mother, very charismatic Reverend Cecilia Bryant, and her brother is Reverend Jamal Bryant, who is now pastor of New Birth Church in Georgia. So we move on and give you, I've talked about William Gaines, who was my ancestral uncle, and met with General Sherman during the 1865 meeting where they were trying to determine what to do with these slaves. So I think I've given you six different AME notables. Rosa Parks, Representative James Clyburn, Jamie Coleman Williams, Charles Ogletree, Tama Bryant, and Reverend William Gaines. And I've mentioned Mother Bethel AME, another famous AME church. Two of them I'll give you. One of them was Brown Chapel AME Church in Selma, Alabama, the site of the 1965 march, Selma March, where they were marching for voters' rights. So you know about Bloody Sunday, you know about the march in Selma. In 1965, there were actually two marches. They had to interrupt the first march because of the violence perpetrated by the police. And then they reassembled and moved forward and completed that march. Well, the staging starting point was Brown Chapel AME in Selma, Alabama. And then the last church, notable church, is the church for the horrific tragedy that took place in 2015 at Mother Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina, where that horrible, vicious murderer sat through Bible study and then killed nine members of that congregation, including the pastor of that church, who was also a representative. So lots of news, good and sorrowful in terms of the AME Church, but the AME Church is alive and well. It's not going anywhere. It's been here for quite some time and will live on to produce great people, to produce great leaders of faith and action, social action warriors as well, living out the tenets of the AME Church, what it stands for, and globally doing the kind of outreach that Bishop Richard Allen expected to be done throughout his lifetime. I want to have one more tidbit that I want to share with you. Wonderful AME, Dr. Ethlyn Fuller created a great bookmark that we had and received at our conference last week. And on the bookmark, it talks about the date of October 27th, 1974, when Austin Street became the first public street in the first district to be dedicated and renamed as Bishop Richard Allen Drive. Lots of those kind of streets, I'm sure, elsewhere. Lots of other notables. Somebody else I could mention was Tom Bradley, who was a mayor of Los Angeles, I believe the first Black mayor of Los Angeles. He was a member of FAME, which is First African Methodist Episcopal Church. They call it FAME Church in Los Angeles. There are lots of notables who are a part of that congregation. Chip Murray just recently passed away. He was the longtime pastor of First African Methodist Episcopal Church in Los Angeles, built that church up to be a real powerhouse. So we could go city by city and talk about the famous AME churches, the people, the places who represent those institutions. But that is our beginning conversation of Profiles in Black Churches. You have to start with the African Methodist Episcopal Church. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. I hope you've enjoyed this. Again, I have links down below, which will give more information where you can learn and study more about this great denomination. And we hope to see you again next week with another edition of Conversations with Carol. Thanks so much. Have a great week. Thank you for listening to Conversations with Carol. Spread the word and tell friends and colleagues that this podcast is tailor-made for them. Make sure you subscribe, and we welcome your comments and reviews on your favorite podcast platform. Visit us at carolcopelandthomas.com and listen to all of the episodes and learn about my speaking services there. Thanks again, and we'll see you back next week for an exciting new show. See you soon.